Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to the Dex, as yet untitled, NFL podcast. I am your host, Brandon. I'm joined by John.
Hello.
And I'm joined by Dev as well.
Hiya.
How are we, gents? After, I think, now 2 weeks off?
I'm good. It's been a busy Thanksgiving as a resident American, but...
Yeah.
I'm glad to be back and kind of get back into a normal routine. Christmas is now, what do you think? So
you've got that post Thanksgiving period and now Christmas is in full swing. There we go. As me and Dev don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I don't know if our weeks have been any less busy.
Just being a pretty normal week. Try to shut the Black Friday sales.
Kind of doing the same and getting everything ready, and it's going to be a hectic few days now getting everything on order as well. And even in the world of the NFL, things haven't slowed down as we gear up towards the end of the season. Some big decisions coming out towards the end of the season now, and I think the biggest one of all, the Bears have finally got rid of Matt Eberflus. They've finally in their 100 odd years of existing, they've sacked a manager or sacked their head coach mid-season. What are our thoughts on it? Because I think this has been a long time. This has been, or should have happened, much earlier in the season.
I think in general, you know, I would say I had pretty good or pretty high expectations for the Bears this year, with the Caleb hype and everything. And, you know, you can't really look past their record.
Mm.
It's been pretty poor. I feel like they've got to do something to try and kickstart Caleb's career, because otherwise, I don't know, you can get away with one, maybe two bad seasons, but after that, you need your quarterback, your new quarterback, your young quarterback to hit the heights that they're aspiring to. Otherwise, you know, they end up flopping, basically.
Yeah. It's certainly a case of they really need to hit the ground running. And you look at the other rookies that have come in this year, JJ McCarthy aside, because of his injury, Jaden Daniels spearheading the Commanders to a potential playoff place, Bo Nix doing the same for the Denver Broncos, coming in and, you know, both of them looking superb. Caleb, granted, number one overall pick, so there's going to be that pressure on him. You know, is it a case of like first season syndrome where it's sort of taking a while for him to get used to the speed and how the game works, and getting used to NFL football? I think there was obviously the massive amount of hype preseason and things like that. I didn't really look into preseason, and I did say prior to the season that Caleb wasn't going to be that good. I didn't write him off, but I didn't think he was going to be like some people had him down for, you know, the first rookie to at least, or one of like for like first rookies to win the Super Bowl for some reason. I'm just like, that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Saw a lot of it though before the season started.
I almost feel like there's too much of it. Yeah, I feel like there was just too much hype, if that makes sense. Just let him develop and let him kick on, because these last couple of weeks, he's actually looked rather impressive. He's looked like,
I will,
not the first rounder, like, but he's the first round or the first overall pick, like, special. But he's looked a lot more comfortable these last couple of weeks. Granted, the Bears haven't. Hence, Eberflus losing his job.
I will say, you look at like last year's quarterback class, like Bryce Young, Will Levis, they both looked awful. Will Levis in particular just looked really bad. And then you look at Caleb, like, comparatively speaking, he's been pretty good. Like, I'm not going to say he's been perfect by any means, but compared to like some of the what were touted as huge quarterback prospects last year that were first rounders, I would say Caleb has adapted way better than they have. So I think there is he's shown a lot of flashes and promise. I just 4 years. I will say I applaud the Bears for sticking with Eberflus enough to try and build something. And then they see the program doesn't work, because I feel like with American franchises, we often this is like our coaches way too quickly, don't allow for a rebuild. So I do applaud the Bears for at least trying to stick it out a little bit. And then when they see it's not working, then go. So.
Yeah, they've shown loyalty to Eberflus, and it's just not gone the way that they expected, and unfortunately this is the end result. Question is now who do you think comes in?
Well, maybe just someone who can time manage. I think that was part of his issue was some of these close games. He was making some pretty obvious errors. I feel like I'm mixing up the games now, but was it in the most recent games, the Lions game, where
Caleb Williams got sacked, so they had a timeout.
Caleb, they do not call a timeout. They does have like one play left in the game.
Yeah, so they had about, I think, like 30-35 seconds left on the clock against the Lions. They're 3 points behind. They could take it to overtime against arguably certainly the best team so far in the NFC, and against a divisional rival, and it's just not gone their way. They've messed up. They've tried to rush things.
Yeah.
Got confused whether they wanted to do it, whether they didn't want to do it, and ended up doing nothing, losing the game. And then I think the comments post-match from Eberflus defending his decision to not call that timeout is ultimately what did it for him. Because it's just a case of ineptitude.
He said he liked it, right?
Yeah. Let's grab it. Yeah. So
two things.
He said we'll take the sack right here. So we're at about 36 seconds, and our hope was that because it was third going into fourth, that we'll rack that play at 18 seconds, throw it inbounds, and get into field goal range. You could have given yourself the extra time and just called the timeout in the first place.
What you could have done is just run the ball.
Yeah, or just do anything.
They had a running attack that was really doing well in the second half. But they were outscoring the Lions 20-3 in that half.
Yeah, so they could have done anything.
If you just run the ball, two plays, set up the field goal, at least you're doing something to tie it up instead of two pass plays where the Lions are good at pass rush. And that is what their best part of their defense is, the pass rush. So
yeah. He liked what we did there. Again, it's under 7 seconds. You're going to call a timeout there, but he didn't. And nothing happened. They could have done anything.
The timeout. If they were in field goal range, I could see why they would save the timeout. But they weren't at that point. I think
I think they were just outside field goal range.
And do you want to? At that point, you don't need the timeout. If you get a big play, spike it, and then you can set a field goal up.
I've just seen a stat that says over the past 30 NFL seasons, there's been 1,501 instances where a team is losing by three or fewer points and runs a play inside the opponent's 30 on their final drive. And this is the first time that a team has had the clock expire without trying a field goal or using their using all of their timeouts. That's
wow. Crazy.
That's a pretty nice.
That is crazy.
I will say, if you read the if you guys read any of the Athletic stuff, I think Diana Rossini put out a good article about how Eva Fuss had lost the locker room like weeks before. Yeah. So this was kind of coming anyway.
Mm.
So I kind of wonder after this, the Bears players just were like, okay, that's the final straw. We're done.
Yeah, this certainly felt like the final straw. And if that, you know, you don't have the players behind you, you're fighting a losing battle at that point. And this certainly was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Just another stat that I've seen. Sorry. This is by Josh.
Yeah, it gets worse.
So Eberflus has the worst record amongst all 221 coaches in NFL history with 20 or more games decided by 7 or fewer points. So, you know, at a certain point, it's him.
Yeah, you can only take so much before it's like, no, this is your fault. It's a case now of who comes in to that situation. Do we think, do they go for someone who's got experience within the league? Do they go for a college coach?
They should be looking at getting as good a coach as possible, someone with proper experience. Who I would not the same candidates that always coming up, you know, Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel. Yeah. They seem like the obvious.
I was probably going to suggest Vrabel, but
yeah.
I'm not sure Belichick. Can Belichick take work right now? Because obviously he's got his sort of like broadcasting stuff that he does. I know he's signed on to do all that. Like I don't know how.
There's rumors here that he could. There's rumors here that he couldn't. It's all speculation at this point. Vrabel,
did you see he said that Aaron Rodgers still has he could resurrect Aaron Rodgers' career, so maybe he can go to the Bears.
Oh,
bloody
God.
I appreciate the confidence from Bill, but
you may be the greatest coach the NFL's ever seen, but I don't think you can recover that. But in fact, let's get into that now. Let's segue into the Jets after another debilitating loss, being 21, potentially had the chance to go 28-7 up, and just lost their bottle.
What did you think of the last play of the game, the two-pointer conversion for the Colts? Because there was a lot of flack going on about that.
Honestly, not. I haven't seen that. I have to go back and look at it. Who knows? But certainly, if we're looking at, it's certainly contentious. I'm not sure on it. But
the whole controversy behind it's kind of confusing. Because I think it was like Steichen called a timeout or something like that. Or second, you have a very specific loophole to use to get like the play to go off or something like that, and the Jets were not very happy about that.
Yeah,
are you talking about the Colts on the pass?
Yeah, the Colts Colts Jets game.
The Colts Jets game, or the Colts Patriots game?
I believe it was 25-24.
Yeah, it was the Colts Patriots game.
Pats game. Okay, well, yeah, that's right. Richardson's. Yeah.
Okay, I thought that was my bad. Wow. Ugh. Great part.
No, it's alright.
Nah, it happens. But given Dev, you are the Jets fan. How do you feel on what happened over these last few weeks and everything that's transpired?
I mean, if I'm being as fair as I could possibly be, I will say he's obviously coming off a horrific injury. You know, when Brady got injured in his prime, was it an ACL tear? I can't remember what he had for the, I think, the 2009 season. And then when he came back, I would say he wasn't that great in his first year back either. So if like a prime Tom Brady takes like one season to get back to his best, then, you know, a post-prime Aaron Rodgers will take at least one season as well to get back to the level he was. The biggest issue with him is that he wasn't that good at the Packers for the past two seasons, in my opinion. And so, and he's only
won MVP.
He won an MVP before. So he won two MVPs, right, recently.
I think he won it in, was it 2020 and then 2021?
Yeah,
2019 and 2020.
I think he might not have like thrown a 300-yard game in, like, I don't know, in a lot. Like, I can't remember. I saw it the other day. I want to say it was like over 25 games or something, which is nuts.
Yeah,
for him, that's insane.
He's, you know, I think we've all been, when we look at Tom Brady, and maybe it just made everyone feel like quarterbacks could go on forever. But in reality, like, he is really old. He just is.
He's now the wrong side of 40.
Yeah.
Like, he can't keep going on because his body's going to be catching up to him.
I honestly think it's time for him to fake an injury. Like, save face, fake an injury, and just, rather than get
I don't like the idea of like faking injuries, but he doesn't have to fake it to the team.
But like, if he feels like it'd be too embarrassing to get benched or something, I'm happy for him to say, like, going back to
what you said about Brady's injury in 2008. So he tore his ACL and MCL. Like, right at the start of week one of that season.
His first play.
First drive, and it's just gone.
Yeah.
The season after 2009.
Like, obviously he was good, but he wasn't, you know.
He's still Tom Brady, and he's still ridiculously good, but.
That begins with, I believe it was 4 years until 2011 when they make it back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They lost to the Giants that year. But...
Yeah. I think I just think it's time, not for like injury. I think it is just time for him to retire. Just in general. I think he is done at the highest level of the NFL now.
I don't think there's a team somewhere that gives him a chance again.
Yeah, someone will give him a chance, though.
He has to complete his Brett Favre arc first.
Yeah, so where would he go then? What, Minnesota, maybe?
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, he'd go to Minnesota. Oh, he'd go to anywhere.
To be fair, I would quite like it if he went to Minnesota and just did like the full Favre experience.
So then it would be what, like Sam Darnold if he gets re-signed, Daniel Jones and Aaron Rodgers all in the same bubble.
Oh.
I still think they'd be all right as a team. Oh, here I found this stat. It's 1,039 days without a 300-yard game.
Good.
That's not good.
I know he was injured for a year of that, but
but even still, that's not ideal.
That includes playoffs, I'm guessing.
But in general, I thought the Seahawks Jets game, you know, the Jets great in the first half, or not great, but good in the first half, disappeared in the second half.
Yeah,
I thought the Seahawks were fine. You know, they've have they won three in a row now? So they're kind of pushing themselves to possibly make a playoff spot.
Well, they currently sit top of their division, so they're currently top of their division. I think let's have a look.
Yeah, by 2 games now, I believe. Now
the there we are. Yeah, so they sit top 2 games, Cardinals just underneath them, and then you look down at the bottom of that division and San Francisco 49ers.
Do you want to talk about that game?
Yeah, let's get into the 49ers and just everything that could have gone wrong for them this season pretty much has gone wrong. Mm-hmm. They've not been able to get CMC healthy, although I think they rushed him back. Yeah. In order, because they brought him back what, week 10. I think they still had a positive record then. Yeah. And since then, they've won a couple of games, yeah, but they're now 5-7, bottom of their division. They've only won.
When he came back.
Yeah. So they've won only one of their divisional games. They're on a 3-game losing streak. McCaffrey's out for the rest of the year now.
PCL, after
that really gruesome injury.
Probably probably some of next year as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard thing to come back from, especially because he got the ball, he's running just a simple route, and pop, it's gone.
Yeah, well, there's belief that he probably injured it the previous play on the pitch, I believe.
Yeah,
the pitch play, I believe. Rappaport was saying like he thinks it was on that play that he injured it, and then he really felt it on the simple little route.
Yeah,
kind of like what Burrow did last year with his wrist.
Yeah, but it's That whole situation there with aging squad, players are coming up on their contracts and things and need to be re-signed.
Yeah.
Have the 49ers missed their window to win the Super Bowl within the next 5 odd years, do we think?
I would say with this current team, the way it's set up, probably yes, but there's no denying that they've got one of the elite coaches in the NFL.
Mm.
And so in that sense, their long-term window is still open and will always be open as long as he's an elite coach.
As long as he's there. Because there is every possibility that, you know, something could happen. He could leave for whatever reason. And then, you know, they really are just nowhere. They're kind of rudderless at that point because they have players that need to be re-signed. They've got no coach.
They've got players' careers down the toilet.
Yeah.
I think they have a good GM. John Lynch is really good at drafting. That's been proven overall, except for like the Solomon Thomas pick, I think. But, like, you're going to have – it's going to be interesting because, like, I think Devo might be out of contract. I think
Brock Purdy needs to be re-signed or at least put onto his
–
What would you guys do with Brock Purdy? Because I personally would be very hesitant to signing him for a big contract.
At the end of the day, who would they get in to replace him?
I don't know, but I think it could be a team killer to if they give him like a 60 mil style contract.
How much cap space do they have? They have a decent amount.
I don't know, but they always find space for quarterbacks. If they need to pay a quarterback, they'll find the space.
The Niners always find an answer at quarterback. I mean, just look, like they got Purdy, then they had Jimmy G before him. They had Kaepernick before him, Alex Smith. They always find some quarterback.
I mean, the only miss that they had. They've only had really one miss within the last like couple that they've had. So
yeah, it's really it's,
yeah, it's good for them. About
Shanahan, though, isn't it? Because he's almost like a, well, I was going to say like a quarterback whisperer, like he is. Like all, like Jimmy Garoppolo had a massively high passer rating under him. Even I think Trey Lance, I don't know how many times he played, but I'm pretty sure he had quite a few good games under him too. Like I think he just obviously gets the best out of.
He's the orchestrator of that 2016 Falcons offense, which was amazing. Like, you go look at those the Falcons team.
David was so, 28-3.
Like Matt Ryan was MVP.
Yeah.
That was a good team.
Good, you know, like he can put together a good offense, and they do have a solid defensive line. It's just a case of now this team's getting older. And especially if they're picking up injuries. I know Ayuk's gone. CMC's now gone. Debo's not
there.
Healthy. They're not like they're not gone in terms of like they've left, but they're not with the squad for the sake of they're injured.
Apparently, according to overthecap.com, the 49ers have 50 mil in cap space next year.
Okay. We've got that's, 50 mil to work with.
That's... That yeah, but that could be that could be just Brock Purdy's contract.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I mean, if they're going the trend that quarterbacks are going, he has to be higher than Burrow, which is 55.5. So
the money is certainly rising. For good players as it should, because players should be given what they're worth. Or at least what perceived worth.
I agree, but I think with quarterbacks, some teams have made some really big errors recently. And I think, like, to me, I would give that money to, Joe Burrow, you know, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
James, obviously.
Yeah. But you'd give it to, like, your elite tier.
Yeah, I wouldn't be giving it to even people like Dak Prescott. I just think it can't, it's just not worth it. It clearly isn't.
Dak Prescott to the Niners.
I mean, I think he would. He might even win MVP under Shanahan. Who knows?
Oh my god!
Oh man, that'd be kind of funny, actually.
The Cowboys when they want to win lose, and the Cowboys when they want to lose have now gone. I think they're 3 wins in a row.
Yeah.
So. What do they want to do?
Blow up a tank.
They've managed to now. They won that division. They've won 2 divisional games now against the Giants and the Commanders. Cooper Rush has looked okay.
It's their running game that's carried them, and the defense has shown up finally. Apparently.
Yeah, I mean they're 5-7. They've won only 1 game at the AT&T Stadium. They're 3-1 in the division. Obviously, the one loss coming against the Eagles. Yeah, they've won 2 games in a row now, and I think they're now, are they on bye this week?
Byes are about to be over. They...
Yeah, no, they're not on bye this week. They have the Bengals.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
If they can beat the Bengals, they've got to have a ton of things to go right for them. Because they're sure. back at the playoffs.
But they'll have surely to tie the kid. So. You'd think that surely the Bengals offense can put together something to beat Dallas. They've put up just under 100 points in their last couple of games. And won nothing. Yep. They put up, I think, 38 against. They put up 38 against Pittsburgh this weekend, just gone. I think they put up something against the Ravens Chargers, the week before.
Yeah,
Chargers was 27.
Yeah, so they've put up.
It's the most in NFL history for a team that's lost 3 games in a row.
Yeah,
29. Right.
Joe Burrow. Can't do much more than he has. He's got 30 touchdowns to 5 interceptions this year.
I've got 3 my MVP.
3,300 yards. he's thrown more than Mahomes has this year. He's thrown more than
Allen.
Yeah, than Allen Josh Allen has this year. Yeah. I'm not sure. I think he's thrown more touchdowns and yards than both MVP candidates, but because the Bengals have blown this year in terms of in defensive instability, he's not even in the conversation despite having one of the best seasons we've seen.
Should I give you an interesting stat about Joe Burrow?
Go on, then. Let's have another interesting statistic.
This is what I was doing in prep. he's now the second quarterback in NFL history to throw for at least 300 yards with three touchdown passes or more in three straight games and lose them. Do you know who the other quarterback was, the first quarterback?
How recent is it?
He is retired, but it was in the kind of like 2010s.
Romo.
Not Romo, but that's quite a good guess. I would say someone who is like equally as talented as Joe Burrow, maybe even more talented, and probably didn't have as successful a career as you would have hoped from a team perspective.
I was going to say Manning after that, but no.
He might have replaced Manning.
Not Brock Osweiler.
No, and Andrew Luck.
Oh.
It's not a good sign for Joe Burrow, is it?
It's not a good sign at all, but you know, if he can keep the production up, like that yeah, that's perfectly fine. And then build around him, provided that he wants to stay, then you know, you've got a very dangerous weapon on your hand. One of the talented
questions is, do they keep Chase around him? Or T? Or both?
Who knows? I mean, the owner probably being a bit cheap. One of them will go. It's a case of who goes. Who knows?
Yeah, and they've got defensive pieces also that are
firing
as well. So.
Yeah. Again,
like Trey Hendrickson.
They've got plenty of
What's crazy is they have the league leader in receptions and receiving yards and passing yards and sacks. And yet they're 4-8.
And they're 4-8.
Who's the sacks leader? Is it Hendrickson?
Yes.
Yeah. It is now.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think if Hutchinson didn't break his leg, he'd be on that form. He'd still be on form.
Well, you would think of TJ Watt, too, up there.
Mm.
Anyway. The crazy part about Burrow is he's still nursing that wrist injury from last year.
Yeah.
Is he still having
issues with the wrist, or...?
He's still flexing it quite a bit every time he throws.
Yeah.
So I would not be shocked if he's playing for
it. Who knows? The injuries made him who he is, and he's turned into this just passing monster. His injury record plus his record just in general for his Bengals team wasn't, you know, 4-8, he'd certainly be in the conversation for MVP.
Yes, or comeback player of the year, both.
Comeback player of the year, yeah. In fact, let's get into MVP talks, because that's certainly hotting up now. Obviously, we have Josh Allen, who, for me, probably feels like MVP. You've got Lamar, who has certainly put himself in the hat. What be third year running now for Lamar MVP? So he win it 3 years in a row. Or finally, a non-QB winning it. We've got Saquon Barkley.
Well, please.
Lamar won it in 2019, so it won't be 3 years in a row. But
did Mahomes won it? Did
yeah, Mahomes would have won it 2022.
Mm-hmm.
But just looking at, it's a case of who do you think would win it over who might win it?
So I think it's without a doubt Josh Allen's to lose. I think everything about his season fits in with like someone who's going to win MVP, especially in terms of the fact that he's one of the elite quarterbacks of this generation and he hasn't won it yet. I think that type of storyline does tend to play into voters' heads when they're casting their ballots. Whereas like Lamar Jackson, does anyone actually think of him as like a three-time MVP? Like, I don't consider him that level player. Personally, I don't have him as a top three quarterback in the league. I think he's the fourth best.
Well, that loss on Sunday surely doesn't help that. But yeah,
I think there's the four best quarterbacks in the league. Lamar's certainly in there, but I think it will be Josh Allen by the end of the season that will win it.
MVP is just such a QB award these days.
He's at currently 2,600 yards, 20 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, and a QBR of 74.5, which is second in the NFL. Projected over this season to have nearly just under 4,000 yards and just under 30 touchdowns.
Who's top of the QB?
I would say it would be Lamar, probably.
Or Burrow.
Lamar or Burrow. I'll check Burrow.
I'll Google it now.
Yeah.
I would vote Saquon, but I'd
vote Saquon for the sake of I'm an Eagles fan. I don't want another QB just winning another award.
It's Kyler Murray.
No. Is that serious?
Yeah, Kyler Murray's first in QBR. Josh Allen's second. Joe Burrow is third. Lamar Jackson's fourth.
Another reason why Kyler should win Comeback Player of the Year.
It's Josh Allen, though. He's just taken it again up to another level for his game. Most recent game, another interesting statistic: first QB to take a passing, receiving, and rushing touchdown. That little lateral pass from Amari Cooper takes out the pylon in the snow.
You know they copied Travis Kelce playing that. That looked like something Kelce would absolutely run if he had the chance.
Yeah. He just looks... It's one of those things where a great quarterback would just make things look easy.
Yeah.
Josh Allen makes everything look easy.
Yeah,
he doesn't even look like he's breaking a sweat.
Can I ask, even though I agree, so Josh Allen would be my pick for MVP. Yeah. If it's the Bills v. the Chiefs in the playoffs, is anyone taking the Bills?
I'm not.
You're a Chiefs fan, John, so...
it's just interesting, isn't it? I can't get my head around it. Because he was playing so well in the game that went to overtime. You know the one where he was so special throughout the playoffs.
Is that the one that they lost on the coin flip, or was that the one after?
It was 13 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, the one where he left... they left like 13 seconds for Holmes, actually. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. You can't leave him any time at all.
It's just nuts, isn't it? I can't, because everything tells me that the Bills are better than the Chiefs this year, and that Josh Allen is playing better than Patrick Mahomes. But I still wouldn't do it. I'd still take Patrick Mahomes the Chiefs over.
I said this the other week, and I'll say it again. They just feel like they feel a bit sort of like Real Madrid hoodoo sort of Champions League.
Yeah.
You know, under Ancelotti, like last couple of seasons, it's one of those where he just gives the nod, they switch on, and next thing you know, you're two possessions down, and it's like, where the hell did this come from?
Yeah, totally.
You can't ever write them off.
Last year, we saw the Chiefs really kick into gear Christmas time after the Raiders loss.
Hmm.
And that's when the offense really got going after that. I wouldn't be shocked if that happens again, especially with Hollywood Brown coming back week 16.
Yeah, so he comes back.
Pacheco coming back now.
You're saying like week 16, 17 projected for Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
That's all they need, really. They're
is Pacheco coming back for playoffs, or is he back sooner than that?
Pacheco, he's already back.
He's back. Last week. Okay.
He played a few snaps against the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, Chiefs played the Chargers.
In a good game. That's going to be
the primetime Sunday slot. It's going to be a great matchup. But I'm just happy. Because again, like, you know, you've got all your sort of good teams are now sort of coming to the fold. They're bringing everything that they've got. And it's going to be an interesting set of playoffs now when we look into it. I think, John, you posted the projected playoff brackets.
Interesting
matchups in there. I think it was like Chiefs Bills first?
Chiefs would be in the bye if the playoffs were.
Yeah, today. Chiefs would have their bye. No, I think it was Bills Steelers.
It was Bills Broncos.
Bills Broncos Steelers, and then Ravens. Steelers Ravens.
Ravens and then Texans Chargers.
So, again, interesting.
Would it be Steelers, Chargers, and Texans, Ravens?
No,
that might Steelers be the other way around.
Steelers are the 3 seed. Ravens are the 6 seed. So the 3 and the 6 play each other. 2, 7, 3, 6, 4, 5.
Oh, fair. Yeah.
So
it's
and then the Chiefs would get the lowest winning seed.
Yeah.
Then whoever is the higher remaining seed gets the other higher remaining seed.
Yeah. NFC side, I think it was Commanders versus Eagles, which would be interesting. Packers and then Packers
not Seahawks. Seahawks are the 4 seed. The other division. Tampa. Yeah. So it's Seahawks or Tampa, one of the two, because Detroit wins the North. Yeah, it's either Seahawks or Tampa. So Bucks and then Seahawks.
Yeah, Packers, Seahawks, Vikings at the Falcons, and then Lions get whoever's the lowest seeded winner.
Falcons are lead the division. Wow, that's crazy.
They're leading it on divisional wins above anything else. And I think I'm not sure if they still have to play the Bucks.
No, they do not. They played them already twice.
Yeah, they've played them twice. So it's a case of they just need to not slip up. But given their current form, they might slip up. Looking ahead to this week's games, Thursday night football or tomorrow night, we have Green Bay going to Detroit.
I am so excited for that game.
That's going to be a really good game. Other selected matchups. You've got the Chiefs hosting the Chargers. The Bills versus the Rams. Can the Chicago Bears arrest their slide against an injury hit Niners? That's an interesting matchup. I think the Bears could get something out of that game.
Yeah, I think they could too. Like anything's possible with the Niners.
Anything's possible. Seahawks versus Arizona, top of the top
that's
division.
Underrated game of the week.
Jets at Dolphins.
Yeah, Jets at Dolphins. That's a game that's happening this week.
That's a
Could the Dolphins make a late playoff push now that Tua's
fully back? They lost last week, right? I can't remember.
They lost to Green Bay in the snow.
That's right. They're two games back of the Broncos, so unless Broncos start slipping up big time, which they could. The Broncos have done that before. But
I think the AFC picture looks pretty set. Like I feel like all the ones that could make it, like the Colts, the Dolphins, the Bengals, they've all got losing records, right?
Yes, but the Colts and Dolphins are two games back. Bengals are 4-8 with a very bad AFC record. And I don't think they would, unless they have a ton of help, that's not going to change.
Again, other matchups that are happening, we've got the Browns versus the Steelers in that return game. Return game for T. Higgins as well, because that's where he had his Nick Chubb, not T. Higgins, wrong player. For Nick Chubb, that's where he had that nasty injury from last season. So that's a big game for him.
Have we said the return of Cousins to the Vikings?
Yeah, we've got the return of Kirk Cousins. Sam Darnold will win that.
I don't know. I think
we've got
Kirk Cousins could pull it out.
We've got
the Falcons defense is good enough too.
Yeah, we've got future MVP Saquon Barkley taking on the Panthers. Honestly going to be an interesting game because I think Bryce Young's really looked up these last couple of weeks. Just hasn't managed
how well he's come back.
Comeback player of the year.
Interesting theory here. Bryce Young is on his Zach Wilson arc.
Yeah.
Where
Zach Wilson looked really good last year, and then he's not even playing any for the Broncos right now.
Just lots of good games. I'm not sure if
playoffs.
We're getting into the end of the year. Is there any other potential like big upsets that we could see, you know, happening? Maybe some players, any potential teams that could miss out? I think the Ravens. I think there's a possibility that the Ravens could miss out if they, you know, if Justin Tucker can't sort his kicking out.
I still think 8-5 compared to Colts are the first team out of the playoffs at 6-7. I think it is a bigger gap than it looks like. Just because none of those teams, the Colts, or the Dolphins, are going to win loads of games.
Yeah.
But I guess I would say the Dolphins are more likely because, you know, Tua is
better. Yeah. I think if there is any team that's going to break in to the playoffs on that side of the field, it's going to be Miami. As long as they can stay out of the cold.
Arizona has a shot,
but they're pretty much going to have to win all of their games.
I think it's so close, isn't it, between the Rams?
I think it's two games back for those teams too.
Seahawks 7-0?
The Seahawks are currently. I can find them. There they are. Yeah, the Seahawks are 7-5. They're 2-2 in their division. The Cardinals would have a divisional win over them right now, provided they don't lose this game.
If they win this game,
and what are the Rams?
Everything's back on.
The Rams are also 6-6 alongside the Cardinals.
It's pretty hard to determine NFC West and NFC South, I would say.
Yeah, those divisions are apart from like. Carolina probably can't make it. The Saints are probably out of it.
Yeah, oh yeah, sorry, I just meant the Falcons and
like, provided the Falcons don't slip up, they'll be all right.
I back the Bucks. I believe in.
I back the Bucks and I back Mike Evans because I think is the stat I saw earlier on today. It's like Mike Evans is on for like the most. On like the biggest streak of 1,000-yard seasons, and you think he's just underneath that.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets, you know, if he keeps production ups and stays healthy, he should be all right. I back the Bucks because they're like they are a good team. Like they're not mugs.
Yeah, and that division is always just so weird. Anyway. It's always the battle of the underachievers. Usually whoever gets
on their side is the fact that the Bucks are also the only teams to take point or take wins off the Lions and the Eagles.
Yeah, I could see the Bucks winning a game in the playoffs. I can't see the Falcons winning a game in the playoffs.
Bucks have really over.
Unless it's on prime time, in which case Kirk Cousins will show up.
Well, I mean, he did show up Sunday. 3 picks against the Chargers. My goodness.
Yeah, I think if of the current teams that are in the things, I see like, there's teams that you can say like for definite they'll probably win their game in the playoffs if they got there, and there's teams that just like. You made it, but NFC you're going to have to go up against someone else who's a lot better than you.
NFC is a lot more wide open, I think, than the AFC.
Yeah, I think obviously
who's coming out.
Yeah, it's a case of you've got your top two sides. You've got Detroit, you've got Philadelphia, and then you've just got the fight for the other bits.
I mean,
I think. I think
other day, the Commanders could take the Eagles down on their day.
Could. They could, but I think with the way that we're playing right now.
Yeah, it's quite odd. In the NFC, the Vikings, Packers and Commanders all feel like they should be able to win, but I just feel like the Lions and the Eagles will beat all of those teams.
Probably. I'm just
looking at the record now. The Vikings have the same practically the same record as the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're 10-2.
Great defense. Five
home wins, 5 away wins. The only spread, the fact that the Eagles have won 4 at home and 1-6 away.
I kind of have a feeling they might not. The Eagles might not lose for the rest of the regular season.
Probably.
I'll take it.
They'll be going on a massive win streak into the playoffs. I think that will make a big difference. If what I said comes true.
I'm trying not to pull a smug face. It's going to be very difficult this week to see if that it's going to be a hard game this week because it's Pittsburgh. If there was going to be one game that we lose this year, it might be this one.
You don't think it'll be the Giants at the end of the season? rest in your players.
Miracle the medalist.
How to boot from StreamYard? No.
Tommy, is it Tommy DeVito that coming out?
Yeah, Tommy. No, they'll probably put Drew Locke in. they could probably take a random fan from the stand and they'd probably throw better. I mean, even if we did rest, like Kenny Pickett's fair enough.
Yeah,
the backups that we have, you know, Breton Covey's pretty good. Calcaterra has come in and looked phenomenal for us. we can rest. You know, you can go in knowing that we've got like a fresh AJ Brown, a fresh Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
There's always
and that's the as well, though. That's a mildly terrifying thought.
Yeah.
It is. It's we're getting to the exciting end of the season. For some teams, maybe not others, but exciting in other ways. Where you know you look to rebuild. You know, rejuvenate your team. Work on what you need to work on.
I'm genuinely really looking forward to the playoffs this year. Like, I just think it is quite open. There's some surprise teams that I didn't think would be as good as they are. There are some teams like the Bengals who are just way worse than I thought they would be. I think it's a really good, and I think there's a lot more parity this year than previously. I think we touched on that in our last podcast, right? Teams like the Chargers are just way better than they have been, obviously, previously.
They've got that sort of formula together, and they've put together a solid team under a decent coach.
And that's why you're seeing, like, I know this is the NFC rather than AFC, but that's why you're seeing teams like the Rams and the Cardinals, who are half decent. Not, and they probably won't make the playoffs. Like,
unfortunately,
I would prefer the Rams to be in it than the Seahawks.
If the Cardinals win, it's back on this week. If they win, it's back
on. It is certainly back on if results go certain teams' ways. The fact that the game is in Arizona as well might benefit them. Yeah. They're playing at home. They can sort out whatever they need to sort out.
Which I think they did better at home anyway.
And yet I still think Seattle win that game.
Probably.
I think there's a case of we don't know how they'll win. They will just win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good old fashioned football.
We don't know how the Seahawks do it, but they just do it.
And still, it's a good defense, a good run game, and you're making enough clutch plays.
Yeah. There's a couple of dead rubbers in here, like Jacksonville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is going to be missing for that game after that nasty hit.
Yeah.
Alshay is suspended for 3 games. Is that fair? Do you think it could have been longer?
It could have been longer.
Is three games fair?
I don't mind it. I think, obviously, I thought it was a dirty hit, but I also do think that recently quarterbacks have been pushing how far they go before they slide. And I think it's led to this kind of awkward, like, I think we've seen it with Mahomes a few times where he's kind of run towards the side and then almost like defenders are almost like afraid to touch him.
Yeah.
Well, part of that is also he has 3 blockers, and then he's done this before. Like, I don't know if y'all remember 2019 AFC Championship game. He just stiff arms a dude, gets out to the sideline and runs it down it. And I mean, you listen to him. He says he's not going to run out of if he's going to run out of bounds, he's going to run out of bounds. He's not going to fake it. And he's one of the few quarterbacks that don't slide like Tua, unless he absolutely has to.
All I meant was more that I do think quarterbacks have the ability to slide earlier if they want to completely avoid.
Yeah, it's that sort of grey area of, like, you know, how long do I leave it before I slide, or at least go down to carry my team on and, you know, push for extra yards, sliding and potentially take a hit. Maybe not as nasty as that, but certainly take one for the team to give my team another couple of yards.
My hot take. I would get rid of sliding as a rule. That, like,
I mean,
if you decide to run it, you decide to run it.
Would that limit like rushing QBs that much?
Yeah, I guess it would do. Yeah, well, you can run out of bounds, can't you? But yeah, I guess it would do.
Yeah, but then they don't have the option of going for the extra yards. It's literally either I pass it or I run out of bounds. And that's kind of it.
Well, no, you can still run and get tackled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nine times out of 10, they're probably going to slide.
I remember in the 2019 Super Bowl when the Chiefs went for the first time with Mahomes, the conversation around that game, because he had made that run against the Titans, the conversation was the Niners should just blow him up on a play, even if he's sliding, and knock him out of the game. Pure and simple. That was the conversation.
I mean, that could be a tactic in any Super Bowl, right? If you knock out the opposition's.
Yeah, I mean, like.
And I think that's why I think almost Mahomes doesn't have any qualms about just running as hard as far as he can and using the sideline as an extra help. I think he runs towards the sideline because he knows if he needs to, he can just easily just tap out of bounds if he needs to.
Yeah, if you're up against that touchline, you just stick a foot out of bounds. The ball plays dead. You've got your yards.
Yeah.
At the same time, you could go and push on. I don't mind the sliding. It's just a case of knowing when. Like Trevor Lawrence's knee's already on the floor by the time Alshay is even anywhere close. So the play is effectively dead at that point. Knees on the ground.
Alshayer has had the reputation of being a kind of playing on the edge of what is okay anyway when he was at Tennessee. And then he does this. I mean, it's kind of... I respect him for playing, you know, his way. But you can't make those kind of hits. He's appealing, I think I saw earlier today. He's appealing it. I know if he gets reduced, he gets reduced by one game at most. But that's it.
What was worse, this one or the Flacco hit from a few years back?
I would say the Flacco hit.
Yeah, I kind of think it was the Flacco one too.
That was
a particularly nasty one, wasn't it?
I personally probably say the Flacco hit as well. Like that was rough.
They're both
not great, but that one was particularly bad.
Yeah, the Flacco one was really, really bad.
Yeah, especially for someone of Flacco's size as well. Like he's a big guy.
You know what? I'm watching the Trevor Lawrence one again. Just to watch it in full speed. It is a little bit close. I could see him getting one game knocked off the suspension.
It's that grey area of again of whether he's down enough to declare the play dead and whether or not he's been hit late.
Regardless, they are trying to get rid of the above the shoulder area hits, which is, I think, the main part of the suspension.
I think if they adopted something similar again, like rugby, so I think they have the area, so you have nothing above the shoulders and anything below the knees, I think, is the rule.
So
anything above the shoulder and anything below the knee, especially for hits where like the player's planted their foot or something like that and it just jars, or you know, it's a potential leg breaker or you know, career ender at that point.
It is so hard to make rules, isn't it, to kind of
and for refs to enforce them, because they're trying to watch guys that are world-class athletes sprinting at full speed and trying to guess what is, you know, what is happening as it happens. And having to make live calls in front of 30,000+ people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it is difficult. Like I've like been pausing this video in full time, and I can see Trevor Lawrence starts to give himself up, and you know, it's only once. It's basically a second between the hit and him starting to give himself up. Like it is tough to
slow mo makes it a lot worse than
But again, everything looks worse in slow motion.
Yeah, 100%. Except for the snow game, that looked brilliant in slow motion.
Yeah, that looks brilliant, but in terms of like tackles and things like that, things do look worse in slow motion.
Yeah.
So again, it's just one of those things. It happens. It happens, and Al Shaair has been suspended probably fairly. Yeah.
It won't impact them much because they win the division by a good healthy margin, but unless they go, if they collapse after this, and if they pull a Jaguars and the Titans before them, it's two straight years now we've had that division's leader go on like a 5 or 6 game losing streak and lose the division on the final day.
Who knows? Well, certainly keeping everyone covered, especially until the final day. Big games this week. Everyone's watching, but that is us finished for this episode. I thank you all for listening. Thank you to my fellow co-hosts as well for hosting, and we'll see you all next week.